Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel. And the panel has arrived. We're very excited. In this hour, we start off with an open discussion of issues in the news and beyond. Joining us for the discussion this morning, WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joseph.
Times Union Associate Editor Mike Spain is with us, as he is every Tuesday and whatever day we beg him to come.
Happy to be here, Joe.
Always a pleasure. And University at Albany Journalism Professor and Investigative Reporter Rosemary Armeo. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is wonderful to have you all aboard. We welcome your comments, as always. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org, and we will read your letters, we will talk about your letters, we will sympathize with you, we will disagree with you if we feel necessary, but we...
Criticize your grammar.
Well, criticize your grammar.
Whatever.
Or you can criticize our
grammar.
Students. Yeah, that's pretty much what they do.
We'll accept your criticism of us.
Yes, absolutely. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Let us start with the story on the front page of many newspapers across the country. That is one of those sort of duh stories, but then when you read it and you realize, no, this is like really scary. And that is a large section of the mighty West Antarctica ice sheet has begun falling apart, and its continued melting now appears to be unstoppable. Two groups of scientists reported this on Monday. If the findings hold up, they suggest that the melting could destabilize neighboring parts of the ice sheet, and a rise in sea level of 10 feet or more may be unavoidable in coming centuries. Global warming caused by human-driven release of greenhouse gases has helped to destabilize the ice sheet, though other factors may also be involved, according to the scientists, and not Marco Rubio.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was going to say. How would you like, from the Department of, how would you like to be Marco Rubio this morning?
Talk about timing, you know?
Yeah. Boy, it's unbelievable.
I looked for a statement from his office and couldn't find one.
I did too, and like nothing. Like, how could you not? I mean, and so the pictures are amazing. So they take these, I guess they're NASA, from NASA. Mm-hmm. They take the pictures of the ice sheet. Changing, and you know, they do this before and after in this time lapsed photography, and it's stunning. It's scary as hell, but it's stunning. And the two scientific papers were released by the journal Science and Geophysical Research Letters came to similar conclusions by different means. Both groups of scientists found that West Antarctic glaciers had retreated far enough to set off an inherent instability in the ice sheet, one that experts have feared for decades. NASA called a telephone news conference Monday to highlight the urgency of the findings. The West Antarctic ice sheet sits in a bowl-shaped depression in the Earth with the base of the ice below sea level. Warm ocean water is causing the ice sitting along the rim of the bowl to thin and retreat. As the front edge of the ice pulls away from the rim and enters deeper water, it can retreat, fall faster than before. 10 feet.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Over
a couple of centuries, right?
Yes. Is that
what they're predicting. The interesting thing is both groups of scientists attribute this to human-driven release of greenhouse gases, and that's the controversy where Marco Rubio is saying there's, you know, climate is changing. It's been changing all through history. It's the attribution to human behavior that is contentious here, and there's still people who are saying that ain't the case, and it's just happening without whether we do whatever we do or not.
So, but what's so astounding to me is that he also says, in a blatant appeal to those people who would be voting in primaries,
the most conservative Republicans.
This will mess up our economic system. So, this is capitalism gone wild to its greatest extent, which is government has no role interfering when good part of human civilization faces real trials as a result of this. This seems to be what he's saying. Now, in a general election, I think this would hurt him terribly. In primaries, where the right seems to be winning these days, or often wins, one wonders whether he isn't trying to outright everybody else and whether it won't work for him.
Well, it can balance his more moderate positions on immigration, and maybe that's the way to appeal to his base without having every topic something that they can embrace. They will embrace this, and it kind of gets them around a tough issue. And then after the nomination, you can come back and moderate.
But it's so terribly, this is a terrible word, but it's so terribly irresponsible of him. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about, you know, the future of this earth.
He's far from the only one. People in power are not doing anything about, including the president, other than talk, and not a whole lot of talk about climate change, for that matter. And there's one other thing that gives us comfort, aside from, oh, this has always happened, you know, it wasn't always ice on the polar cap, yeah. So why are we so worried? The other one is this 200 years business. There is so much water being released by the melting of this. It's just stunning amount. Have you ever seen a glacier? I went down to Argentina last year.
Yes.
They're amazing. You just cannot describe it, and the pictures don't even begin to do it justice. There's so much water that will take something like 200 years for the oceans to fill up with this. But that doesn't mean we can wait 200 years before we do anything, which is exactly the impetus that we seem to be feeling from our politicians.
You make a great point. Two points from what you just said. One is that it is not the air, what we learned from this report is it's not the air temperature, it is the temperature of the water underneath that
Correct.
Is causing the gas.
Melting.
So it's the melting of causing this. Also, if you look at these NASA animation, and we're talking 200 years, but if you look at the NASA animation, which I am now showing to Mike and Rosemary, which of course you can't see on the radio, but if you go to the New York Times, this video is available. This is done over the past 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And even from 2005 to 2014, you see an incredible before and after. That's 10 years.
It just recedes and recedes.
Recedes and recedes. So, yes, we are talking about 200 years as far as total elimination, from my understanding.
Well, that's how long it will take for 60 feet of water to rise across the world.
Which, by the way, they say is 4 to 6 feet of water. So if you just imagine going to your favorite beach, whether it be Maine or the Outer Banks, and you're standing there and you imagine that the water is 6 feet higher
there would be no
before.
Outer Banks.
There would no
right.
be, you know,
right.
that
there
that
would
is,
be no Fire Island.
That is,
there and
no
there may
Fire
not
Island.
Be a Long Island.
That is significant.
Yeah,
yeah.
That
all
is significant.
Aside, that is serious. And the amazing thing in that New York Times story that I saw was that in 1978, a glaciologist or glacialologist at the Ohio State University had said all of this would happen, and people just ignored him. It was John Mercer, and he was assailed, and people just refused to believe it, and now everything that the late Dr. Mercer had predicted has unfolded just as
Al
said.
Gore told us this. Did
he
we
did.
Listen?
I hate to say it, but he did.
Yeah, I mean,
if you look at the film, he's standing there, and he's got this, you know, this sort of chart in the background, and he is showing what is going to happen to downtown New York City,
mm-hmm.
which happened in Sandy. All that stuff, all that fill we put in there, all, you know,
Battery Park,
mm-hmm. all underwater.
Mm-hmm. It is. I guess the White House put out a report last week. There have been a number of other reports. There is this information that came out from the two journals yesterday. So, I mean, what else do we need? At what point do we start doing something? And at what point do we? Because we're still fighting it.
Well,
the debate,
though, Joe, is over whether we can do anything other than build seawalls around Lower Manhattan. But can we reduce emissions sufficiently to reverse this? And some people are saying, It's not because of our emissions, so we don't need to change our behavior, like Marco Rubio suggested. Others are saying, well, you know, we could cut down on the emissions in the U.S., but China and India and other emerging economies are polluting greater than we are, and therefore, why bother?
So here's the point.
Yeah.
Anything we do has to be to the good.
Right.
to the good.
Why not give it a shot?
Well, as Mike is for it, I mean, he's just giving you the counter argument.
No, I understand that.
But if you, you know, Rosemary shook her finger just a little while ago at the president for not doing enough. On the other hand, you know, the car I'm driving this morning got 60 miles a gallon coming in here, and I think that has to do with putting pressure on the automobile industry, which he's doing, by the way, for whatever it's worth. So. you know.
But there's still 600 coal-fired plants in the U.S.
Well, that's
right.
We
have to move away from coal.
We do.
You know, we're in Hollywood territory now. This is the first crisis. Wow, I can never remember. That requires really a global response. We have no mechanism to make a global response. What, the U.N. is going to do this? We can't even stop a little war in Central Africa.
The U.S. is not even a part of the international accords on global warming.
No.
Right.
When they show up to discuss this, we don't even...
Well, we did in Kyoto. We messed up badly. So my question is, what we need now is, what's this guy's name from the day that the world stood still?
Yeah.
What was his name? Kimbo?
You're talking about the 1950s science fiction movie.
Yeah, he came in and he told the whole world, you know, either you do it or you're done. And his point, he had the world stay still. Somebody, we'll get 5 letters now saying what the guy's name was.
This is one story that's made me happy about my age.
It was not.
Because I won't be around. So for the first time ever, I think I'm happy to be as old as I am.
Yeah, but you know, you're thinking of your legacy. You're thinking
this is
your kids and their kids and their kids.
Yes.
And
I worry about them.
No, but I know that I
want to.
Batu.
Klaatu.
Yeah, Klaatu. That's the one.
K-L-A-A-T-U.
Yeah, that's right. But so
Michael Rennie in the original Keanu Reeves.
He was terrific.
All right.
He was terrific, and then they remade it and they messed it up again. So you know, as they always do. But it does show up on the old movie channel every once in a while. But there is you can imagine when the mud really hits the fan. That there will be, people will do what you just said. There will be seawalls constructed at Battery Park. There will be other things done. The question is, why can't we do it now as opposed to when it really hits? That's the issue.
It'd be so much less expensive and better for everybody if we altered our behavior now, but instead we're going to be doing remediation work. And
right.
I think Rosemary's point is so perfect. It's how can the world come together? There's no mechanism for us to agree on anything. I mean, we can't stop wars. We don't seem to be able to achieve other things.
We can't find 300 girls lost in Nigeria.
Yeah.
So now stop the ice from melting at the polar caps.
And the newly emerging economies will say, well, you guys did everything you wanted to do, and now you're telling us that we can't.
Yeah,
so if you want it, you have to pay us for everything that we're
in
over
our
well.
Yeah, which we should. Yeah.
But, you know, the U.S. per capita still pollutes more than China does. Now, China does as a total, but there's so many more people if you divided it up per capita, the U.S. is the biggest per person polluter.
It's a foolish argument, you know, when you're in the face of the ice sheet falling down 10 feet into the ocean. I mean, both should be sitting there and taking steps. And, of course, we're still squabbling, which, again, goes right back to the beginning. Shows how silly Marco Rubio was to make this a point of his campaign.
I'd be hiding under the bed if I were him this morning.
Yeah, really. Okay.
Just for the sake of doing this, the latest poll suggests the public concern about global warming dipped after 2006 and began climbing again several years ago. But with the question of is there evidence the Earth is warming, right now about 64% of the people respond and say yes, while 25 to 30% respond and say no. And then the second question, and is human activity the main cause of global warming? And this is a very partisan issue. So 65% of Democrats say yes. Independents are around 50%, and Republicans are around 20%.
It really is. That's unbelievable.
I mean, science is not pollable, you know. What was the thing? And there's an internet meme that said, this is like asking, you know, is 12 a better number than 11? It doesn't matter what people think.
But also, even in the Democratic support, where you had 80% who believe that there is evidence that the Earth is warming, then going down to 65%. I mean, I know it's only numbers, but still, within 5 years of saying, okay, well, what? I've changed my mind because I changed light bulbs in my house.
Yeah.
I mean, well, that, yeah. that even in and of itself is concerning.
You know, well, people are confused by data and by reports. I mean, it snowed yesterday in Denver, you know, and there's, well, if it snowed in Denver in May, it must not be that the world is getting colder or warmer. It must be getting colder. You know, I mean, it takes some level of sophistication to understand that this is a trackable trend and that it's and it can be attributed to behavior. And when you accept that, it's pretty clear what needs to be done.
Well, I have to tell you, I was raised in a household. My parents were Democrats, large D. And I've always seen myself as more of an independent. Nevertheless, okay, take that as you will. I have great respect. I really do. I have great respect for many of the Republican people that I know. And that 20% is really astounding to me. I mean, that is so low. Many of these people are educated. They took science classes. They know what this is about. That really sends me for a loop.
This is the poll I read was from the Wall Street Journal. This is the Gallup poll that came out.
Better yet, he's a well-known Republican pollster. Okay, I'll take my tongue out of my cheek.
All right, so Gallup came out last week and said, over the past decade, Americans have clustered into three broad groups on global warming. The largest currently describing 39% of U.S. adults are what can be termed concerned believers, those who attribute global warming to human actions and are worried about it. This is followed by the mixed middle at 36%, and one in four Americans, the cool skeptics, who are not worried about global warming much or at all and do not believe we are the cause of it.
Gosh. Well, I wish they were right.
Yeah,
it makes things a lot easier.
That's not the issue. The issue is not who's right and who's wrong. The issue is what they believe. And that is scary.
And that cluster analysis that they did in the Gallup poll where they're just looking at numbers, whereas the Wall Street Journal is looking at it and putting a political party attached to it, which is really fascinating. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting source. Let's see. Any final thoughts on this? What do we do?
Well, I mean, one of the problems, and the University of Texas does an energy poll periodically, and the last one was released this month, and it shows that people even do recognize it, but they're more concerned about the pocketbook. You know, if it means spending more on a car that gets 60 miles per gallon, they're worried about feeding their family, and they'll get less fuel efficient.
And if your grandchild drowns at some point, that's not as much concern.
Well, they'll have to move to higher ground.
There's only so much higher ground.
What's the price of real estate going for, like in Kansas and Illinois and those states in the middle these days where we don't have to worry about water? The other thing I would be looking for is action on college campus. This seems to be much more of a rally.
Point
for young people to get concerned and involved in government than what we did in the 60s, which was simply
progress.
Government.
Yeah.
Well,
this is
Bill McKibben and others have done these worldwide campus events, 360.org.
What do they call that when you get rid of your coal stocks? What's that called? De-acquisition.
Yeah, that's right. That's happening. Yeah. So, there are some similarities between the pro-environment movement and the anti-war movement of the 60s. That will be interesting to
watch. That's a good point.
Of the concerned believers, 100% believe that the when it comes to the media and the seriousness of global warming in the news, 100% believe that it's underestimated, and 100% of the skeptics believe that it's exaggerated.
Well, why is it that I got a letter yesterday from a concerned listener who said, why don't you people talk about global warming?
I couldn't believe that, actually. I felt like, well, sometimes I feel that's all we talk about. That's really interesting, that in casinos. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue. We have many other issues to discuss. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org. We'll be back after this short break. Welcome back to our roundtable panel. It is a pleasure to have you with us. We welcome your letters, as always, roundtable@wamc.org. It's roundtable@wamc.org, and we have letters to read to you.
Yes. Our reading the letters in no way indicates that we approve of them. All right. Here's Ted, who says—
It's not an endorsement.
Well, that's a good beginning.
Rosemary's on point, and we really cannot dismiss this. We cannot even find 200 kidnapped girls in Africa. have. This ongoing and necessary discussion of correcting the negative effects of climate change and beating our chests about my car gets better mileage than your car is moot. We hide behind big issues to allow us to feel better about ignoring lesser issues. Okay.
I don't think you are boasting, Al. I think you made a good point that every little bit helps and that, yes, moving to cars that work in a different way is an important first step. But you did not say, I'm going to solve the whole issue of global warming with my Prius.
No, it's that everybody, I mean, can you imagine if people who are getting 20 miles a gallon, which I did once, are now getting 50 and 60 miles, what the impact of that would be incredible. But he never stops taking shots. Okay, so from Michael, I personally believe the data is convincing that global warming is real. The issue is with the cause. Yes, the rise in CO2 correlates with an increase in global temperatures. The problem is correlation does equal causation. That said, I think the world should do everything possible to get away from fossil fuels simply because they will run out someday, and it certainly won't hurt the environment to stop emitting CO2 and particulates in the air. The U.S. should take a space race type lead to develop technology to get us off of fossil fuels. Jeannie says, hello, Joe, Rosemary, and Alan. If Marco Rubio's doctor told him that the spot on his chest x-ray was probably cancer, would Rubio say, I don't believe you? If Marco Rubio's auto mechanic told him that he really needed to replace his car's brakes, would Rubio say, I don't believe you? So what does he say when several thousand scientists who spent their careers studying the subject tell him that human activities are changing our climate? I don't believe you. That's from Jeannie.
Good letter, Jeannie.
That's a good point.
That's interesting. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just too inconvenient. Yeah. That's the answer.
Yes. Convenient truth. Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
I think maybe we have to learn how to build arcs.
Well, I just saw Noah. Both of my grandchild Noah and the and the picture. The night he was born, we went to see Noah.
That's so cool.
Interesting. Yeah, it was not that good. Did you see it, Joe?
No, I didn't. No.
The grandson is better than the movie.
Yeah, I would. Oh, yeah.
From Wendy Weeks. A big part of the answer is what we can do to minimize the impact of global climate change can be found in a recently published book, Reinventing Fire, by Amory Lovins et al. And that's from Rick. Oh, sorry.
We'll look that up. Reinventing Fire. Have you read that?
Alan, anyone seemed to be avoiding one of the real causes of global warming, people. People produce CO2 as well as demanding more goods and services and produce greenhouse gases. In the past 35 years, the world population doubled, and in 25 years, it may double again. I'm not recommending eliminating the population, but let's be realistic. And Stephen says, no one who lives in Berkshire County and works in Albany has the right to lecture us on fossil fuels. What bus route goes from Great Barrington to WAMC's studio? None.
At 5 in the morning?
And 3 in the morning, and I bought a car that does much better. I did better than I was doing. Are you right that nobody should ever be in a car ever, ever again? Yes, you're right. But that's not the way that it works. Sorry. And that's what I got.
That's it. Yeah. That touches certainly a nerve for a lot of people.
We welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Now for another big story. The New York Police Department will significantly limit the practice of seizing condoms for use as evidence in prostitution-related cases, ending a procedure that health officials had long criticized as undermining their efforts to protect prostitutes from disease. The change, which the department announced on Monday, has the support of Mayor Bill de Blasio and the city's 5 district attorneys. It allows for the continued practice of using condoms as evidence in cases involving sex trafficking. This is a reasonable approach to targeting the most at-risk community as it relates to safer sex practices and continuing to build strong cases against the vast criminal enterprise associated with prostitution, the police commissioner William Bratton said in a statement. Advocates for prostitutes and public health officials have been lobbying for this type of change for years, but attempts to pass legislation have been repeatedly stalled. In 2012, Human Rights Watch released a report detailing the impact that the seizures were having on prostitutes in New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Washington.
This basic silence here, and I bet I know why, which is it really defies logic that they were doing this, that they were taking these condoms away from the prostitutes. There are many people who believe that prostitution, for many of the same reasons being advanced in this argument, should be legalized.
Well, it gets away. I mean, it becomes a situation ethics.
What?
It's kind of like the use, the giving out needles to heroin addicts,
on the
streets. It doesn't condone the activity. It's kind of neutral about the morality of it, but it is highly moral in that it prevents the disease and death of.
Can I be naive on this?
Yeah.
Okay, because Rosemary has her head in her hands, so I want you to weigh in on this. But let me be naive for a moment. How is a condom, taking that away, used as evidence?
Because what happens is if you find somebody, a prostitute, with 30 or 40 condoms, this becomes prima facie evidence in a prosecution that you were there. What else were you doing with them? And that's why either.
But can you note that and still have them keep the condoms?
Don't know about the evidence not being a lawyer. I can't tell you about that, but apparently that's what they did. And whether
if they're
not
going to continue to use it as evidence, women will not carry them, and then they'll be endangered.
And then further endangered
as their customers, clients, whatever.
Right. Hey, Rosemary, why were you covering your face?
Well, because I again, we're in this idea that prostitution is somehow like, you know, smoking a little bit of pot. It's not really bad. We should just like loosen the rules and make it easier and safer. And it isn't. Prostitution is a horrible crime globally. It's part of sex trafficking. There are women in that job, not because they love making men happy, but because there's no other way for them to provide for their family or because they've been kidnapped and forced.
And not to disagree with you, but I just read an article of the incredible rise in men sex trafficking.
I have no idea how to respond to this.
Men sex workers. But go ahead. In this country, the number of male sex workers has quadrupled. And I'm just throwing that out.
Well, you have a dilemma. If you have to enforce the law and prostitution is against the law, you are basically saying there's one element of our investigation and prosecution that we're going to ignore, and that is that you carry with you devices that will save lives and prevent disease.
I mean, so, my son could be arrested under those things. He carries a lot of them, doesn't he? I mean, isn't that a sign of hopefulness? I don't get the whole thing. I think it's good to just, protect people. It's the same way as giving needles to addicts. You know, they're in a horrible situation, and we need to get them out of it through counseling, training, education, arresting, whatever. But you don't take away, you don't make them use dirty needles. So it seems pretty easy on the surface of it. But no, I can't sit here and say, yeah, so let's make prostitution nice and easy. We go into nice, clean brothels, and you sign up. Oh, that's just horrible thinking. It's just such a big part of organized crime around the world. And
my father was a venereal disease control officer for the city of Washington, D.C. and Detroit. And he went through the city streets at night picking up prostitutes and sex workers giving them blood tests so it would reduce the amount of disease. And then the first thing they would do is give them condoms, to try to reduce that. That was the first thing that they do. I remember fairly vividly as a child of having the blood vials and the baskets of condoms in the house.
Wow, that kind of made you the man you
are
now?
That's my childhood. Wow. We've come a long way, you know?
As a public servant, what's your primary obligation? It's to save lives and to promote health
enforce the law. I've been very thoughtful about what Rosemary just said, but I do think that this subject deserves a full treatment at some point here about the whole question of prostitution and whether or not there's economic prostitution, whether or not people who have nothing except...
And the media doesn't do a very good job covering prostitution seriously either. There's a sort of leering element to the coverage, so much so that when I'm overseas working with young journalists, I forbid stories about prostitution unless they're vetted by me first, because they usually consist of a man going out and trolling for women and then writing about, boasting about it.
Yeah.
There's just a purient interest in that, and it is, in fact, quite serious. Many organized crime groups use women to cover up trafficking and other things that are more lucrative and that they care about more, like drugs, for example. Let the women get arrested, traffic their slaves, and then protect their other hangers. So it's something that deserves a lot of careful looking at. And it's used for political reasons, too. Look at all the sex crimes connected to men in power in this country. A late governor,
or how about men who have great deals of money, defy attractiveness as a criteria, but have a lot of money and therefore attract women who go with them.
Well, that's attraction. I mean, and that's another whole thing. That's not a crime. It's not a big
Bessie
problem.
Bessie Smith was wrong when she said there are lots of ways to sell it, honey.
Poor Bessie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's kind of an argument for my case.
There's a lot of quiet around it.
Well, so obviously, like, that's the Donald Sterling thing, right?
Yeah, well, there was some of that. You might make that analysis, sure.
Sure, okay.
Or Henry Kissinger. I mean, what women are... Eddie Murphy movie, 48 Hours, Eddie Murphy goes, the kindness of women just always knocks me out. I don't understand it. And that's it. So, I mean, Kissinger was powerful, and he got women, and baseball players get women because they have a lot of money, and they're hot, and we have messed up culture.
What did that mean?
Okay, but back to the point here of
we're talking about the nature of attraction here, Joe.
No, we're talking in New York City about this policy. So will this because what was happening is the cops were taking away, they were using as evidence, they were taking away the condoms, and then advocacy groups throughout the city were going out and giving condoms with the New York City logo, I would note, to the prostitutes. So it seems like it's.
And by the way, New York is not the only city that has made this decision.
Of course not.
Because it defies, reality not to do what the city is doing.
But also, I mean, this is back to Rosemary's point. I mean, we see it here in this city where there's a cleanup. That's what they say. We'll clean up the streets. And they do a sweep. And they arrest a couple people. And then it stops for a blink. And then it just comes back. I mean, I don't know what you do more substantive to that and to the cultural.
You fight poverty. You educate people. You provide alternatives. You provide job training. You provide counseling. I mean, those are challenges.
Put
that
the
every
names
community
of Johns
has.
In the newspaper.
Yeah. Put them on the internet.
Yes.
Well, I had an eye-opener. I'm sure I've mentioned this at least once. I did some consulting work on the cleanup of the Midtown area for the New York City Police Department and rode around in the truck that collected the women. And it was fascinating stuff. They were tough people. I mean, they were really tough. And they were, as it got into a different neighborhood, 8th Avenue, you had a group of very poor women, or people who were less attractive. Around the hotels, there were knockout people, so that there were these economic differentiations that were there. Some were extraordinarily articulate when you talk to them. I mean, this was people who could have even given Rosemary a run for their money in terms of making their point about why they were doing it. And saying, making the point is, everybody does it on some level.
Well, and there's also that it always comes up in a conversation like this where somebody will say, well, it's the oldest profession. Well, it still doesn't make that as right.
Not at all. It's exploitation. Yeah. If people participate in exploitation, it doesn't make it right either, if they do it so quote-unquote willingly.
We're going to take a break because everybody just seems worn out. And I will – I don't know. Just looking around the room, everybody just –
Anybody got a cigarette?
Alan.
See, Purient. Oh, my gosh.
Could be a new cigarette.
You're listening – right. You're listening to The Roundtable at WAMC.
Support for WAMC goes from Haldora Rheinbeck, women's clothing design sewn in upstate New York, natural fabrics of linen, silk, and cotton, featuring hand row of Switzerland undergarments, Haldora.com. The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscratch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com. And Global Renaissance Perspective, Saratoga Springs, New York, announcing a grant-funded kindergarten Chinese immersion program in the Saratoga State Park starting in August. GlobeKindergarten.org for registration.
welcome back to the roundtable. In just a few minutes, we'll be getting an update on our lockbox challenge. If we reach $325,000 by June 2nd, Mr. Big will give us an additional $25,000. So we're going to find out where we are. And
you say that so matter-of-factly, I'm pulling out my hair. You know, because the idea of losing that $25,000 is just more than I can bear. It's coming along, but it's going to take everybody doing something. Somebody else won't do it for you.
So we'll get an update in just a moment, which gives us time for one more story. North Carolina businessman Keith Crisco, a Democrat who ran for Congress against former American Idol star Clay Aiken, was found dead at his home Monday, according to his campaign. An employee at the company that Crisco co-founded and his campaign each said he suffered a fall but did not immediately provide details. He was 71 years old. Mm. With all the precincts reporting the results of last Tuesday's election, Clay Aiken led Crisco by fewer than 400 votes, with the third candidate, Toni Morris, lagged behind the two. Crisco did not concede the race, awaiting the results of a final count, including absentee ballots that continued to pour in for several days. In a statement, Aiken said that he was deeply saddened by Crisco's death and called him a good and honorable man. So meanwhile, from what I understand, and I'm trying to find this, that he can still win.
Crisco
can still win.
He could be declared the winner, and then the party would pick
the party would
candidate who could be somebody other than Clay Aiken.
Right.
It seems like...
Or the numbers could hold up.
It seems so like Aiken's numbers are going to hold. That was the...
He's ahead.
Yeah. Yes.
Most of the time they do, don't they, in these recounts? Almost
seen,
always.
Yeah, but you very know, close races.
300, around. Boy, is tough.
That's pretty close.
Well, I've seen 18 hold.
Look at that race, you know.
I've seen 18 and 20 holes.
Yes. So, yeah, no, that's so true. And
do,
then,
does any Democrat have a chance in this
race
against
the Well, that was the question I was going to ask.
It's a Republican district.
Well, it's Representative Renee Elmers is the current representative in Congress from the greater Raleigh area where this congressional seat is. And whoever wins it, whoever would have won this primary, was competing to run against her. And, you know, North Carolina is kind of an odd place. You know, President Obama took it both times. So, you know, it could be a chance. And Clay Aiken's very popular with a different audience. So it could be an upset.
That's right. And, yes, it would be another star running for Congress.
He's very, very popular down there. His picture's all over the place, and he's all over TV. He's very popular.
Well, I think it's important to be able to sing, you know, when you're in the Senate. They could have a filibuster or something. They'll need a voice.
Well, Tom Lehrer wrote a song about it. Unless we have about George Murphy saying, unless we have a senator who can sing and dance.
So who do we have? We had Fred Grandy, who is a gopher on Love Boat, was a congressman.
Sonny Bono.
Nancy Culp, who is Miss Jane Hathaway in the Beverly Hillbillies, lost to her election to Bud Schuster in Pennsylvania when she ran.
Mm. Fred Thompson was there for a while.
Well, Fred Thompson was in the Senate.
Right.
He was a pretty serious fellow.
He was serious.
Yeah. Sure. And now he's back on Broadway.
And then Ronald Reagan, of course, in the executive branch.
Ronald Reagan, was he in acting before?
Not very good at it, but yeah.
Bonzo would say differently.
let's get our lockbox update. And
Give us some good news.
Well, Alan, right now we have $159,736 in the locked box.
Okay, and in order to get there, by the first day of the fund drive, we need to get the $25,000. Listen to me, folks. We're talking about $25,000. It's real. It's Mr. Big. And I'm telling you, he knows what's right and he knows what's wrong, so sort of like Santa Claus. And, you know, I don't want to lose that money. And I know you don't because you're part of the community also. So we're at where?
We're at 159,736.
And so we need to get to 325, right?
Yeah, we need $165,264.
We could do it. We could do it. You know, we have raised almost that much. We have raised that much in a day.
Now, it's May 13th. We have until June 2nd to do this. And by the way, Megan Finnegan is who the voice you're hearing. I just wanted to properly introduce Megan.
Thank you.
Who is keeping track of all of this. Well, your official title?
Membership director.
Membership director. Excellent. So we look at $159,736. So our figure that we're looking to get to, just so you know, and you're keeping track at home, is $325.
Right.
Right.
That's and great. Then you can with see the it right 25 on the webpage. Would be $350 going in, more than a third of the way through the drive if we make it, which would be phenomenal.
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome,
come
awesome.
Come on, everybody, let's go.
We can do it. And 20 days, we can do it.
When all else fails.
Yeah, we'll and I don't want, as I said before, I don't want to hear one bad thing from somebody in the street who says, why do those fund drives take so long? I said, did you put anything in? No.
Can you still get the free stuff when you do it for the
locked box? Yes. Yes.
And a special premium.
Such a good point. Just for the locked box.
Just for the locked box, which is only now. You can call in, get a WAMC mug with your name on it.
Or anyone else's name.
Or anybody else's name. And you can wake up in the morning and...
And
feel good.
Know your name.
Drink deeply. WAMC.
Megan, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate it. And for the good news, WAMC.org to get to the lockbox, WAMC.org. You can also call us 1-800-323-9262. Go to extension 145 or just ask anybody. They'll take your information and help you out. 1-800-323-9262. Mike Spain, Rosemary Armeo, and Alan Chartok, thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.